Psalm 119, verse number 59. The scripture says, let's read it together. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Let's say it again. Psalm 119, verse 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Fathers, we turn and take a look at our ways. We want to be turned to your testimonies. We want to see the truth from the Word of God, and we want the truth from the Word of God applied to our hearts individually and personally. So in line with the teaching of Psalm 119, Lord, we pray five things. Lord, open our eyes. Lord, help us to pay attention to us personally, individually. Help us to kind of draw a mental circle around each one of us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see what's inside that circle. And then, Lord, we pray for cleansing. The scripture is clear that your word will cleanse. And Lord, we pray where we need that ministry, that that ministry would be accomplished. Lord, we pray for teaching. Lord, we don't pray for just an academic recounting or a bulletin board posting. Or, Lord, we pray that you would help us to see and understand how it fits in our personal life. And, Lord, we pray that you would comfort us. And there may be other needs. Specifically, the scripture talks about comfort and affliction, but there are many other needs mentioned. Lord, as you know the individual needs of my heart and individuals here, Lord, I pray that you'd minister to that need specifically. And then, Lord, we pray for light for our step and for our path, for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We claim the promise of the scripture that says God's word will not return void, but will accomplish the purpose where it is sent. And Psalm 119, where it says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Now, today's message, I need. And today's message, you need. This is a personal thing. Now, if we're going through the message and you're tempted to say, well, this really fits, then you're looking the wrong direction. There's only one way to apply this message, and that is, this fits, and apply it to our own hearts and lives for the glory of God. The scripture says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet. There's not just thinking going on here, but there's action. So there is contemplation, but there is action as a result of that. Oh, it's summertime. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you look on your calendar, this week we passed the official mark of the beginning of summer. Of course, here in Florida, we've known by the way of heat that it's been summer for a while. We know by way of the academic calendar that when the kids are done with school, summer begins, and that's certainly happened. And it's a different pace. Praise the Lord for that. We had vacation Bible school, amen? And Brother Matt's sitting by his folks, amen, that's a good thing to see. His brother Dan is, no, his father Dan is sitting right over here. And we're going to be capitalizing on some of the Bible lesson that was being taught during every day in this message today. And praise the Lord for the answers to prayer we saw in Bible time. And because of a different pace, now, with summer comes vacations, with summer comes family time, with summer comes getaway time. That's good stuff. That's important stuff. But as a result, we need to be careful that we don't take a vacation from God or spiritual things or the Word of God. We need to make sure that we take some space and think on our ways so they can turn our steps to His testimony. It's summer. It's contentious time. Oh, my goodness. The news this week, without getting into a lot of detail, there's all kinds of political chaos. There's all kinds of discussions being carried on with all kinds of passions in different things. And in the background of all of that, there's wars and rumors of wars going on in our world right now, just like the scripture said there would be. And it can be very take us away from, I thought on my ways and turned unto thy steps. Listen, folks, there's a lot of noise, and there are some legitimate discussions being carried on, but don't allow the chaos and the discussions to take you completely away from the Word of God and its value and importance in your life. I thought on my ways and turned my steps unto not CNN, not Fox News, but to thy testimonies for the glory of God. Psalm 119 focuses on the Word of God, and it's set in a life journey of the psalmist. And the psalmist reflects on his need for, his trust in, and the Word of God, where he is on the road of life. So we turn to Psalm 119 for instruction, as well as other areas of the text of the Word of God. We need to see where we are, and we need to think on our ways and turn our steps to his testimony. The first main point we want to make is you and me and praise. In Psalm 119, we see several references. If you're copying down verses, verse 164. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Seven times a day do I praise thee. Praise has a prominent position in daily life. Verse 7, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. Verse 171, my lips shall utter praise. In Psalm 119, there's mention after mention after mention of praise. In the book of Psalms, David, the author being of much of it, praise is a very especially important theme. Over 160 times in the book of Psalms, the word praise is used. Psalm 40, verse 3. He hath put a new song on my mouth, even praise unto my God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in thee. Psalm 57, verse 7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Psalm 100, the title of the psalm is a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Steve, I'm not sure if that was soprano, alto, tenor, or bass. I think in this case it refers to all of it. And even those that can't even follow the melody, at least you can hum, whistle, or recount God's message in your life. Psalm 106, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. If you turn to that psalm, that phrase repeats and repeats and repeats. It was probably used as someone at the front would sing or chant this phrase, and then the audience would respond with the response. Then the one at the front would give this phrase again, then the audience would respond, or even its reverse. And note, in these verses that I've mentioned, and throughout the text, that praise is connected frequently with singing or making melody, and frequently with giving thanks to God and others. Let's just make a note here. If you're thinking on your ways and you want to turn your feet unto his testimonies, and if singing and making melody in your heart is connected with praise, then make sure that the music that you're listening to is glorifying to God and helps you on your spiritual life, helps you to give thanks for God, and helps you on your spiritual walk for God. Don't allow the music in your life to be that which is disruptive or counter to the message that God would have you have in your life. The New Testament uses the word praise 26 times, and related terms much more frequently even than that. Just to summarize, Hebrews 13, verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. There's no question in the Word of God that on the journey of life, spiritually before the Lord, praise plays an important part. The question is, what are you praising God for? We had an excellent Sunday school lesson this morning. Brother Randy Livingston preached the message. I was taking notes, and I very carefully put them in my Bible so I could give you those notes. And do you know what? There they are. Five reasons to be of good cheer. Number one, salvation is permanent. Number two, our Savior is present. Number three, he's our sustaining peace. Number four, our service potential is defined. And Scripture's power is mentioned. If you want chapter 2 to this message, or this message becomes chapter 2 and you want to go back and get the beginning, then go back on Facebook and watch Brother Randy's lesson on Facebook. The other place you'll be able to find it is on the church website here in a day or two after we get it posted. On resources, at the bottom of that tab is past sermons. If the first one is audio, that's just of this message. The next is video of just of the messages. But the last one is the full service. And in that one, the Sunday school is there. You need to hear those points described. It was a tremendous lesson, and it buttresses so much of what's here in the Scripture for us. What are you personally giving praise for? Salvation is at the very heart of that. That was point one here. Salvation is permanent. Are you thanking the Lord for salvation? Do you know that if you died today or 50 years from now that you're on your way to heaven? Does your family know your testimony? If you've not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior by faith, today is an opportunity for you to trust Christ. You can have the praise of life, not only today, but life forever. And then, answered prayer. Oh my goodness, we had a great VBS, as I've mentioned. We've seen God bless at the teen mission. We've seen God bless in some unusually powerful ways recently. I got permission from Carrie Doughty to mention Annalise. We've been praying for Annalise for years. She was facing major heart surgery. I mean, right here it is. It's today. They did the last test to make sure everything was ready to go, and guess what they found out? She did not need surgery, to the glory of God. She was facing that God was going to use the doctors to give healing, and she'd have a summer of restrictions. Now, praise God, she doesn't need anything. She's got healing from the hand of God. Amen? Now, God chose to answer that way for her. God doesn't always answer that way for everyone, but praise God, we have things to praise him for. Amen? We've been praying for one of our missionary sons, Nathaniel Berge. He had very close to a death sentence, Burkitt's lymphoma. It doubles in size in 48 hours. They had to get to it right now. Then he had all kinds of other infections that he brought with him from South Africa, and the combination was very life-threatening. Do you know what? As of today, they cannot find any active cancer in his body. He's got a lot of recovery to do. He's going to have to go in for checkups every month for 6 months at least. He's still got to have a lot of physical therapy, but God preserved him, amen? And God's at work. If we'll just look around and give God thanks in our lives personally for what God is doing, that'll be a big encouragement and strength to you. I encourage you to write them down. I encourage you to have a in your journal where you are writing down what you see from Scripture and how God teaching you from Scripture, that you record some of the praises, you record some of the answers prayer. And then when you see that there's a connection between your praise and what God using someone in your life to help and be an encouragement, then be sure to reach out and say thank you, not only to God, but say thank you to others as well. You and praise. Where are you on your spiritual journey when it comes to praise? Today, as we turn to God's Word is telling each of us to have a spirit of praise. The second point I want to draw to your attention is you and God's Word. Now, when I say you, I mean you and me. I am not excluding me. This is not something that I'm trying to say to you. This is something that I have felt God has said to me, and we can both benefit from this, and the benefit is through the Word of God. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. There are several things in Psalm 119. It's all about the Word of God. It's an acrostic using 8 verse sections with every letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There are commands in the Scripture. There are clear commands. Our most familiar illustration would be the Ten Commandments. There are testimonies. There are through the Word of God. We see the story and the history and the principles of what God's done illustrated. Recently in my Sunday school class, we went through the book of Joshua. And the book of Joshua, be strong. Be strong in what? Obeying God's word, and God will give deliverance. If you don't obey God's word, God will give consequence. We see testimony of that in the scripture. The truth is illustrated and to show us concerning God and concerning His truth. We stop for a moment. The Bible says life begins at conception. Psalm 139, verse 13b, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. It goes on, verses 14 through 16, to make it clear that God knew me before I was born. The Constitution enumerates the rights of American citizens. The legislature legislates that which the people, through representatives, legislate. It does not matter what the Constitution says in the sense that when the Bible says that life begins at conception, that's not a constitutional thing, that's a Bible thing. And whether the legislatures choose to recognize it or not, it does not come from a legislature, it comes from the Scripture. God knew me before I was born, and praise the Lord, let's stay strong in the text of the Word of God, and let's understand its principles and its applications. There's testimonies, there's definitions and judgments of right or wrong. Perhaps a metaphor that helps us is guardrails. It helps us stay on track. There are principles that build on one another. If God, in Genesis 1:1, God's the creator, that means I'm responsible to God if God made me. And the principles from Scripture build on these. When Jesus Christ came, he said, you've heard of old that it was said, and he would quote some of the commandments from the Ten Commandments. But I'm saying to you, and he heightened some of those principles and precepts. There's 8 synonyms used in this text, but this is an illustration of some of them that are used here. Here's the point. The Bible's not just a rule book. The Bible's not a dead collection of old stories. The Bible's not just something that was discovered in a monastery and somebody blew the dust off of it and we have it in our hands as a result. This is a living book. It was given by a living God to living people. And the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and applies it to our hearts and lives today. It's alive. and it's real. And it shows us the way of eternal life. It shows us about the living God, and it shows us what's necessary for eternal life. It looks like a book, but it's the living Word of God. The Scripture says concerning itself, it's a fire. Jeremiah 5:14. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth a fire. It clears out the junk. It burns out the stuff that's not necessary. A good illustration of this, we are up in Sequoia. Our family would go every year. For 100 years, the policy of the park was, because they noticed fire scars on those great giant sequoia trees, that fire is bad. And then they were noticing there's no young sequoia trees. Only where they cut through a new road or where there had been a recent fire, they did an actual study of this thing. And in the 1960s, after 100 years of policy, they found out that fire is absolutely necessary for the life of the sequoia trees. It clears out the undergrowth. It mineralizes the soil. The cones on a sequoia tree, giant tree, how big are the cones? They're about this big. The fire dries them out, and the seeds very much look like a flake of oatmeal. And those seeds drop on a prepared soil where they can get light and grow. After they started the cycle of prescribed burns, now there are growth of young sequoia trees. Just as fire clears out the growth and prepares the soil, God's word burns in our life to get rid of the junk. God's word burns in our life to get out rid of the competition. It mineralizes the soil so his word can find root. The word of God is a fire. It's a sword. The scripture has an emphasis on a two-edged sword, piercing. A two-edged sword, a Roman sword is an illustration of that. And one of its main functions, it can cut and slash, but its main function is to puncture. A Japanese samurai sword is curved and extremely sharp, and it's a deadly weapon, but it's a whole different concept. Its power is in its slice or slash ability. The scripture says, pierce, go right to the heart of the matter. The scripture is like a scalpel. The scripture gets right down to the roots of things. The scripture gets right down to where the real problem is. And the scripture works in our heart by means of the Holy Spirit to help us understand its truth and to get past the surface problems, to get past the pride and the selfishness, and get right down to where the problem is, the bitterness, the rebellion against God, or whatever the issue might be. It's a sword. It gets to the root of the issue. It's a hammer. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like a hammer, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. A hammer breaks down. A hammer destroys barriers. A hammer also can shape. A hammer can also mold. When I was working during seminary days in a mechanic shop, the mechanic I worked with said every shop, in order to be complete, he needs to have a whole array of hammers. We had everything from a 15-pound sledge with a steel handle down to a little tack hammer. One of the things that was in the shop was a quarter panel from a fender from a 1932 Model A Ford. If you were to work on that to take dents out of that fender, what do you need? At least a 10-pound hammer. One of the guys pulled in a Ford Pinto, probably about 71 or so model. What do you do to use body work on a Pinto? The smallest hammer you can find. It's a big difference. God's word is a hammer. Regardless of what it takes to get through the barrier, God's word can do it. Regardless of what it takes to shape, God's word can do it. God's word can shape. It's a seed, born again, not of corruptible seed. 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Being born again. We need to be born again, not to be on our way to heaven. Yes, we sure do. Where does it come from? When the word of God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When the word of God says the wages of sin is death. When the word of God says that Jesus died on Calvary's cross. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. When the scripture says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The seed, empowered by the Holy Spirit, shows us the truth of the word of God, and it grows. It has potential for growth. It has potential for fruitfulness. It has a potential for greatness. It's milk. 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Milk. It's all that a newborn babe needs to grow. It's balanced nutrition. It has all the needed elements for growth. We know now there's amino acids. We know there's vitamins and minerals. We know all a number of those kind of things. And milk can provide those things. The scripture provides what we need for spiritual growth. It's also, the scripture is meat. Hebrews 5:12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again what be the first principles of the order of God, and become a such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. The point of the text is there were some that were teaching things that they just really weren't teaching what the scripture said. They needed to go back to the original principles. They need to go back to the milk. But there is such thing as meat. What's that? What that's necessary in nutrition, it gives you protein. It gives you the building blocks for muscles. It gives you the building blocks for strong bones. And in the scripture, we have what's necessary to give us spiritual strength. The scripture says it is light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It illuminates our step and it illuminates the direction. Now, it's not exactly parallel to a flashlight today, because the LED flashlights today, you get this little tiny flashlight that fits into your hand, and you turn it on, and you can illuminate the neighbors at the end of the block, a quarter of a mile away. You can illuminate the house number from the little flashlight that's in your hand. That's not what's here. What's here is the candle. And the candle illuminates what's right here. So the scripture says, thy word helps you take the next step. The scripture says, it's a light to my path. It shows me the direction. It shows me the direction. My dad was teaching me how to drive. And whatever the age that was in Pennsylvania time, probably about 15, maybe 16. Here I am with my learner's permit. I'm driving at night. And man, it's kind of hilly country there where we were in Pennsylvania. And my dad finally leans over to me and says, Brian, you can't see over the hill because the lights don't illuminate that yet. But Brian, I'm here to tell you, the road goes somewhere, okay? I was slowing down every time we got to a hump. I was slowing down every time we got, because I couldn't see around the corner. And Dad said, you'll know when it's time to slow down because there'll be a sign that says 45 mile an hour with an arrow. 25 mile an hour with an arrow. So I learned that if I had enough light to tell me the direction, I could keep the car on the path. God will do the same thing in your life with the word of God. It's a mirror. It's a mirror. It's like the scriptures uses this illustration to show us how we go to the mirror, we look at ourselves, and it shows us what needs to be corrected. If I don't correct it, then what good is the mirror? The mirror is intended for us to correct the issues. So the word of God is given to us to show us ourselves so that we can make corrections, and we can do the word, not just hear the word. It shows us who we really are. The scripture is the most important, enduring, life-changing book ever written. And it's not just about words. It's not just about theology. It's not just about discussion. It's not just religious vocabulary. It is alive and powerful and has potential to change our life. What if we went to the doctor and were diagnosed with a disease or deficiency, and the doctor said, here, take this medicine. This will help you with that deficiency or disease. And we got home and we opened the bottle and there was nothing in it. Would we be helped? What happens if we take the Word of God and we just look at it like a bottle? Okay, check. I've done it today. Okay, check. I looked it over today. Will it help? It helps when we look at it and allow the Holy Spirit. We pray the prayer, open my eyes, teach me, cleanse me. We pray the prayer to comfort me. We pray the prayer to illuminate my path. And then we allow God to do that. God's Word can teach you, it can touch you, it can turn you, and it can transform you. We need the Word of God. It's not just a book, it's alive with the power of God. As we've mentioned before, it's settled in heaven. Jesus, the Old Testament lays the groundwork for the coming of Jesus by showing what sin is and that people by themselves can't follow it, and that Jesus would come, and the specifics about his coming and where it would be and what he would accomplish. And then we see in the New Testament, this is written that it might be fulfilled, which is said in the prophecy. Jesus fulfilled the prophecies. And Jesus died on Calvary's cross to save us from our sin. And when he left as the living Word, he said, I'll send you another comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. And it's his job to teach and to instruct and to empower the Word of God. So what do we need? We need at least five things. Number one, the Word of God to open our eyes. Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We need number two, to cleansing. Psalm 119, 9 and 11, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We need our eyes opened. We need cleansing. We need to be taught in the sense of understanding and application. Psalm 119, verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. We need comfort. Psalm 119, verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Quickened is the idea of to make alive, to make active. And in the scripture, then, is what's needed to meet our current needs. We need the instruction to light my path. As we've mentioned, Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto thy path. A lot of psalms have been put to words, and when we use those choruses and psalms, it reminds us of the truth that's contained in it. If you'll take these five directives, and when you praise, then you bow your head in prayer and say, Lord, open my eyes, cleanse me, teach me, comfort me, and light my path, then read the scripture and ask for God's direction. Keep your pencil out with your journal, and God will give you some truth from that scripture. And the more you do that, the more you'll see God open up truths in your life. And it's personal. The truth that I get may not be the same thing that you get. It's the same truth, but there are things about the truth that speak to me personally that may be different than what you receive. You know what was a blessing to me today? I opened up Pastor's devotional today. You know what Pastor's devotion today is? Haggai chapter 1, consider your ways. I had a choice between that text and this text for this message. I chose Psalm 119. I thought on my ways and turned my feet into thy testimonies, but I got a blessing from God. When I turned and saw pastors devotional, and we're on the same page. Then I came and sat in Sunday school. And the first point of praise from Brother Randy's was, salvation is permanent. Oh, the glory of God. Listen, God can speak to you. And God will use his word to do it. Number three, you and my spiritual journey right now. David said, Psalm 119, verse 176, that's the last verse in the text, in that chapter, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Wait just a minute, David. You're a man after God's own heart. Just a minute, David. You're the one who was the leader of Israel. You're the one that there's so much in Scripture has been written. But David said, I have gone astray. Did he? Yes, he did. What about us? Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. We're all sinners. We all need the grace of God in our life. And then having received salvation, notice another verse, verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander. David said, I'm committed to do your work, but I can wander, and I'm the first one to say it. And Lord, when I wander, Lord, use your word to bring me back. Where are we? Where are we? We have a spiritual battle. Brother Matt, what was his lesson series during Vacation Bible School? Put on the whole armor of God. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. You might even want to turn there so you can see it again. It's a familiar text. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. It doesn't say gird yourself up and just do your best. Lift yourself up by your own bootstraps. And what you need to do is just grit your teeth and get better. No, it says be strong in the Lord and then in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil's tricky. The devil doesn't come right at you in this ugly red suit with a black cape and stare you in the eyes. No, he doesn't do that. He uses little things that you wouldn't think about. He uses things that just simply take you off the track of doing the will of God. There's a little thing sometimes in our life called the tyranny of the urgent. And we just have to do so many things. Well, is the urgent important? Sometimes. But if what we made urgent was getting into the Word of God, then we can accomplish this. But the devil is smart. He uses whatever it is to take you away from his will and his word in your life. The scripture says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high place. Wherefore, put on the whole armor of God. And he goes through the elements. The loins girt about with truth, the breastplate, the helmet of salvation, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and the shield of faith. We're emphasizing, Matt made this point, if you have on all of those pieces, what's missing? Anything to fight with. Guess what you are with all the armor except the sword? A moving target. Envision yourself. Here's the soldier, and he's got everything. He's got the boots. He's got the helmet. He's got the backpack. He's got the armor. All the vests they put on, you know what I mean, to keep the bullets away. Say it, John. Bulletproof vest, there it is. They even make, believe this or not, They are making backpacks for kids in school with bulletproof plates in them now. Can you believe that? Anyways, so you've got all the armor. You even have your weapon. But you don't have any bullets. Yeah. That's an issue, isn't it? What does the scripture say? Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. How much ammunition, how much of the Word of God is hidden in your heart? How much ammunition is there? Now, it comes, the unifying factor of the army, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The Apostle Paul loves superlatives. He doesn't say praying most of the time with on some of the prayers for the people that you like, with all prayer and supplication for all perseverance and supplication for all saints, praying always. He uses superlatives 4 different times in that text. Yes, we need to pray. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for others. We need to pray. That's all there. But what's the offensive weapon? It's the Word of God. Listen, there's a battleground. Your battleground may be different. There's things that we consider big stuff. There's things that we consider little stuff. But it's frequently the little stuff that causes great damage. The scripture says it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. They go to great lengths to keep the things away, to give protection. But there's a little hole here. There's a little hole there. And the devil uses his wiles to find out what those holes are in your life. And once he finds it and gets a stronghold there, it can create a greater degree of damage. Sometimes it's things like our attitude. Well, tomorrow, does tomorrow ever get here? Not if we don't want it to. When tomorrow comes, we still say what? Well, tomorrow, I'm too busy today, so I won't do it today, but tomorrow, listen, all we have for sure is today. So let's do what's necessary for today. The battlegrounds differ. Here's some of David's in Psalm 19, verse 9, cleansing. Verse 10, wander. Verse 11, sin. Verse 22, reproach and contempt. Verse 25, my soul cleaveth to the dust. Verse 28, heaviness. Verse 67, verse 71, and verse 163, afflictions. Did David have those? Yeah, he sure did. And verse 113, vain thoughts. What's a vain thought? It's a thought process that has no benefiting substance, or it's thought process that produces no real result. The point here is there are battlegrounds that we face, and the battlegrounds are real. They may be big. We may perceive them as big. We may perceive them as small, but they're there. And they're different from those that may be around us. But they're real for us. God can meet you at your point of need. He can take the Word of God. How did Jesus defend himself against temptations of the devil? He said, when he was tempted in the wilderness, specifically, it is written. We need to do the same thing. Sometimes we need to study it out. We need to take the problem area and look at the scripture. And then we begin to say, when we feel tempted or see a temptation come, we need to say, it is written. Galatians 5, 16 and 17, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Folks, we're in a battle. There's confusion around us. There's distraction around us. But we have what's necessary for for victory in the Word of God when it's empowered by the Holy Spirit in our life. Number one, Psalm 119, verse 59, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. What turning do we need now? Number one, is there praise in your life? The key factor would be, are you saved? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Now, again, this is not a dead thing. This is not just something that's this past week, my wife ran across my baptismal certificate. I didn't even know I still had it. In April 24th, 1966, Fred Vernon Barber, who happened to be my dad, baptized me at Central Baptist Church in Binghamton, New York. Amen? And praise the Lord. That's a certificate of a spiritual step in my life in following the Lord. Folks, that's a physical certificate that has been in a storage bin for who knows how long. The reality is right here. There was a day I trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. There was a day that I recognized I was a sinner. There was a day that I recognized that Jesus Christ was the only Savior. There was a day when I realized that was me. That wasn't some generic thing. That was me. And I bowed my head and I said, Dear God, save me from my sin. And by faith, through God's work, He saved me. And later, I followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Baptism didn't save me, but it was a step of obedience because I was saved. Listen, salvation is a real and living thing, and it's the seed of the Word of God that produced that in your life. Is it there? Are you counting on the blessings of God each day? Are you writing them down? Number two, are you taking in the Word of God every day? When you do, pray these five things, and they're listed on that sheet that you have. Open my eyes, teach me, cleanse me, comfort me, and light my path. Now, there are others that in that text and other texts of Scripture that you could pray. So, if you find those, then write that down as well. Then get into the Scripture, asking, having asked your eyes to be opened, to be taught, to be cleansed, and finding those things in the Word of God. And then are you using the Word of God in your life? Inside, to overcome the flesh and to win on your battlegrounds, to help you grow and to strengthen you, and to be the Word of God that ministers to the lives of others. When we see in the beginning of Acts that the Word of God, the Scripture says, the Word of God grew and multiplied, then it says, and the number of disciples were added to the church. But you see the beginning? And the Word of God multiplied. Listen, when the Word of God, we're not going to see multitudes of people joining the church or multitudes of people being saved and born again until the Word of God is in being multiplied in my life and through my life to reach out into the lives of other people. Today, what about praise? Today, what about the Word of God? And today, where are you in your spiritual journey? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity of looking at the Scripture today. And Lord, this Scripture, Lord, you've used in my life to instruct and teach me. And Lord, I pray that you would use this Word of God to instruct and teach each of us for the glory of God. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes. Lord, I pray that you would teach us. Lord, I pray that you would cleanse us. And Lord, I pray that you would light our path. And Lord, I pray that you would comfort us by meeting the needs that you know we have in our life. Lord, I pray that you would help each of us to today make a step on our spiritual journey that takes the Word of God and strengthens it in our life for the glory of God, with our heads still bowed and eyes closed. How are you doing in praise? What are you thanking God for? Number two, where are you with the Word of God? Will you take the challenge of praying these five things before you read the Word, and then ask God to show you from the Scripture things you need to know? Then where are you on your spiritual journey? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? If you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, you can do so today. And what it is, it's faith in your heart, and recognizing that you're a sinner, that Jesus is the only Savior. As we have our invitation, if you would like help or counsel concerning how to trust Christ as Savior, we're available here at the front for you. You can receive Christ in your seat as well. If you do that, I'm asking if you would just mention to me on the way out that that's what you did today, to be an encouragement to both you and me for the glory of God. And then what step do you need to take in your life? It may be different for different folks. Whatever the Holy Spirit speaks to you concerning, Lord, do that in your life for the glory of God. Let's stand together if you would, please, where our invitation hymn is "Just As I Am," without one plea. Our invitation is open for you if you need to come and trust Christ as Savior. And we encourage each one to make the spiritual decision in your heart and life that God would have you to make for His glory today.